Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Welcome to the show. Today is November 18th, 2015. The markets were up today, the Dow closing at 17,737, the NASDAQ at 5075, and the S&P at 2083. Tonight, we are discussing repairing your credit and applying for a mortgage. We are live. We will take your questions. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening, and we'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while we do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topics, and I will do my best to answer them. The number this evening is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can also email questions at yourfinancialchoices.com. And I want to mention, you can talk live on air with us or off air. If you're not comfortable talking live, you can just give your question to Judy Ann. My guest this evening is Steve Stelzman of The Mortgage Company. Steve has been helping Lehigh Valley homebuyers finance properties for more than 29 years. Steve is licensed as a mortgage loan officer. Currently, he's the branch manager and operating partner at The Mortgage Company in Allentown. He works with homebuyers to customize a mortgage financing that meets their goals. Steve has helped over 5,000 homeowners finance their homes in the Lehigh Valley over the last 29 years. He's earned the trust and respect of the local real estate community as the go-to mortgage guy that will always do what's best for the client. Welcome back to the show, Steve.
Well, thank you for having me back, Lori.
I appreciate it. Steve had been on the show back in June, and I want to give the date of that show for those folks who want to go listen to the podcast. You can listen to podcasts through wdiy.org or through yourfinancialchoices.com. And it was dated June 17th, and we discussed the mortgage approval process. So that is available. But Steve, before we get started, can you tell people a little bit about yourself and the mortgage company?
Sure. As in the introduction, I've been doing mortgage financing, residential mortgage financing, for 29 years. This is my 29th year, and I've seen a lot of changes, especially in the topic we're going to discuss tonight, credit scoring. And I enjoy it very much. I enjoy helping people get into houses. There's probably nothing more fulfilling than helping somebody realize the American dream.
Yeah, it's true. And all of the memories they're going to make in that house,
exactly.
It makes a big difference. And those are pivotal moments for all of us. Mm-hmm. So as you had mentioned on that show we had done on June 17th, we had talked about credit ratings and how that impacts the process and that mortgage approval process. So we talked back in June. We said, hey, why don't you come on again and we'll talk about credit scores, because you said there are ways that people can repair or improve their credit score. So I thought it would be great if we could talk about some of those techniques. So, and then at later in the show, if we have time, we can talk about kind of maybe that actual mortgage approval process, what's going on in the markets, what does the Lehigh Valley look like? So we'll save that toward the end, because I think it's really important we talk about the repairing the credit. So should someone look that up before starting the process of home buying, their credit scores, or should they wait to let their realtor help them figure it out?
Absolutely. So let me just, I just want to kind of touch on a little bit of a history of credit scoring and how it came to be and how it became such an important role in financing how lenders make financial decisions today. When I started way back 29 years ago, we had human beings kind of evaluate credit on a case-by-case basis, and it wasn't up until around 1990 that our industry started really focusing on that important three-digit credit score. And even in 1990, we weren't really buying into it. You know, we were a little skeptical. You know, was a score representative of the person's credit history? So it took probably until about 1995 until the industry really kind of bought in and said, you know what, this makes sense. The credit score is at a point in its evolution that it is a true, accurate depiction of a person's credit history. And it's because they find, over the years, they've fine-tuned it, and the mathematicians and computer geniuses have figured out the right algorithms to make all that work out. But last year, the federal government reported that 10 billion with a B, credit decisions have been made based on the three-digit credit score. So this is something that not only affects you in the mortgage world, but it affects you at Best Buys. It affects you when you purchase a car. It could affect you when you buy an insurance policy for homeowners or any other type. So industries across the board are using that three-digit credit score, and it's important. And I, you know, like everybody's seeing, there's more promotion on air, on TV, for people to run and pull and get in tune with their credit score. So that said, there's a lot of myths around credit scoring, which is why I answer probably more questions on a day-to-day basis around credit scoring than I do any other topic in the mortgage industry. There is a lot of myths, and some of the myths are intentional. The three credit reporting agencies that create scores, which would be Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, do keep some things secret because they feel that if we knew all the secrets, we might figure out ways to manipulate it. Not me, but some individuals out there might figure out ways to manipulate the score and skew the authenticity of the number. So that said, maybe, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, one of the major myths is that there is a 1 3-digit score. And I think it's important that everybody knows that a credit score is designed for an industry. So if you apply for a mortgage, you're going to get a different credit score than if you go to your auto dealership and apply for an auto loan.
Never knew this.
And not too many people do. When you go online and get your free FICO score at FICO.com or any other 100 free online services, that score is going to be different than you get in the mortgage industry or the auto industry or the retail industry. So it's important that you know your score specific to the industry. Okay.
But Steve, would someone know that? I mean, if you go online for some of these free mm-hmm. reports, which we can talk in more detail as we go through the show, is someone going to know when they're going online if that score is applicable to the mortgage process
right.
or the car process or the, you know, getting a credit card process?
Good question. I think the takeaway on that is I think it's important that you go online and you get your credit score and. You know, like most industries, some of those free online services really aren't free. So you have to be cautious about that, obviously. And you know, be aware that there are companies out there that are just trying to sign you up or sell you other products based on you going and signing on and getting your free credit report. But I think the takeaway on this is that know that there is a difference. Know that, you know, if you go online and your credit score is 800 and then you know, your intention is to maybe purchase a home 2 months later, when you finally talk to your mortgage loan officer or bank about getting a home, you're going to see a different score.
Okay.
Not to
okay.
be, you know, and it's probably not going to be a deterrent, I mean, but, you know, it's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the earlier in the process, in the home buying process, that you could talk to a mortgage lender, the better. The earlier that you could pull your credit. There's some reports that as many as 30% of all credit reports that are out there have inaccuracies. So if you're planning to buy a house 2 months from now, it might be a good idea to pull your credit through a mortgage lender and look at it, decide if there's anything wrong, anything that needs to be fixed. It buys you some time to take care of those issues if you have to. Inaccuracies can happen through misspellings of names, same name, Joe Smith, common name. So maybe one Joe Smith's information runs into another Joe Smith's. So you know, there is a potential that that system or the inaccuracies has greatly reduced over the years.
Okay, I want to ask you a question about that when we come back from our first break. Folks, if you have questions, tonight's a great time to call, 610-758-8810. We're talking with Steve Stelzman from the mortgage company and talking about credit reports and repairing your credit history. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Thank you. And I want to welcome Jeff back tonight. Jeff's in the studio with us this evening doing the board. I'm very excited. So, Jeff, thank you for being here. Welcome back, folks. I have with me this evening Steve Stelzman of the Mortgage Company, and we are talking about the, in some ways, the mortgage approval process, but the precursor to that, which is making sure we know what your credit is. Are there things that need to be repaired on that? And Steve had just highlighted that there are different credit scores that may apply depending on what kind of loan you might be going for, such as a mortgage, a car, or maybe even credit cards. So it's very important for you to understand what your credit score is, of course, but also that you are looking at the right details in that credit report that you get. So it could be beneficial if you are looking for a house to work with a mortgage lender. So I'm going to ask Steve to talk a little bit more about that in just a second here. The phone number, if you have questions about this or questions about this process, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You could talk live with Steve and I, or off air, give your question to Judy Ann and she'll bring it into the studio. So, Steve, you were mentioning could be different credit scores depending on what you're going for. And why would it be important for someone to maybe not just go do this on their own, but actually work it with a mortgage lender if they indeed plan on buying a house?
Great question. For a couple different reasons. So first and foremost, if you go into myficocredit.com and you might pull your credit and it may reflect a 800 credit score, which is a great top of the line, best credit score you could get. When you fast forward and meet your mortgage lender 3 months later and he pulls your credit report, it might be 720. Now, that doesn't mean that your credit had decreased or you've done anything wrong. It's just a different formula for calculating the credit score. Now, that 720 is still an excellent credit in the mortgage industry standards, but there's also other components of that credit report that a lender in the mortgage industry is going to evaluate and make their determination on. So although the credit score is very important, there's other things like if there's any past foreclosures or judgments or things that have occurred in your past, like bankruptcies, that are going to be looked at on that credit report. There's also ways, sometimes the interest rate that you get is going to be based on that credit score. Now, one of the tools we have that has really been very useful in the last few years is that sometimes we could run your credit through a credit simulator, and we could tell you how to make your credit go up a couple points so that you can get a better credit score, or I'm sorry, a better interest rate. So sometimes in the mortgage world, interest rates are based off of credit score. So the higher the credit score, the better your rate. And it depends on product and program, and there's a lot more detail to that. But if somebody could increase their credit score by 20 or 30 points by maybe paying down a credit card, you might be able to take advantage of that and get a interest rate lower for the life of your loan by structuring, just making that one adjustment.
So can I ask, so in your example, you said someone might pull their report and then think they have a great score. They don't do anything. They come to you 3 months later. Now they want to buy a house. But had they come to you 3 months before, you might have run it through the simulator. You might have found ways to kind of help it. So going back 3 months, if 3 months before they had paid off that credit card, would that already have hit that credit report 3 months later? Like, is there kind of a timeline to do this repairing?
Yeah, so actually, we've gotten to a point where it's almost instantaneous. So let me give you an example. So we had somebody that they were about one credit point short. Their credit score was 730, and in order to get a quarter better interest rate to 740, we had them pay down a credit card to 50% of the balance. So meaning they had a MasterCard, they owed $5,000 on it, and they paid that down to $2,500 balance. They didn't pay it off, they just paid it down, paid off half the credit card. Well, that allowed them to get to, for their credit score to be, to go up, I think, 20 points, and it allowed us to give them the 0.25% better interest rate. It probably saved them $20,000 over the life of the loan. So investing that extra $2,500 into their credit card allowed us to get a better credit score instantly, same day, and allowed us to lock in at a better interest rate. So it's within hours or days we could adjust that number. So now what I'd like to see is that we kind of are having that counseling and that coaching and making those adjustments and informing people how to keep that score maximized, how to keep that score up, a little bit where there's a little bit of time we have to work with it. Because if you're trying to do that, if you're trying to close in 3 days and you're making those adjustments 3 days earlier, it adds a little bit of stress to the borrower. So,
well, and I think it's important to point out, too, the difference of that 0.25%. Yeah. Now, you knew off the top of your head because I was thinking, gosh, I wish I had my HP calculator. I would have calculated that number quickly for our listeners. But, you know, to throw a number out, a 0.25% over the life of the loan could make a difference of $20,000.
Absolutely, yeah.
It might even have been more, and depending on how much you can adjust that credit rating.
Most industries have gone to what they call a risk-based pricing, right? So if you're at an auto dealership and you have a low credit score, you're probably going to get a higher interest rate than if you had the perfect credit score on that new auto purchase. In about 10 years ago, the mortgage lending industry went to a similar system. You get a better interest rate for a better credit score. Now, once again, especially in the mortgage industry, that's a rule that doesn't apply to everybody in every product. We have certain government insured loans that doesn't apply to, but on your traditional fixed rate conventional mortgage loans, if you have a 740 credit score or higher, you're going to get an interest rate that's probably a quarter to 3/8 better than if your score's 680 or below. Now, that's a lot of money. I mean, depending on the loan size over the life, that's a lot of money. So if we could figure out a way for our customers to improve that score, and we have some time to do it, we definitely encourage everybody to take advantage of that. And some things are very simple. Sometimes you can't change a score. And I want to make a distinction, and maybe take this in the next section. But and I'm not talking about necessarily credit repair. What we're doing here is it's credit enhancement. There are times where if you have a history of late payments, there's sometimes you can't make that score go move that score.
Okay, so we're going to differentiate, and I think that's great that you picked up on that, a difference between credit repair and credit enhancement. Mm-hmm. So right now we've been talking about credit enhancement,
right?
Which is
moving a score up a few points because we're modifying or paying down some debts that a scoring model would look on negatively.
Okay, and then I'm going to ask you another question when we come back. So I have all kinds of questions. Listeners, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with Steve Stelzman of the Mortgage Company. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Steve Stelzman from the Mortgage Company. We are talking about your financial choices. That's right, your financial choices when you are thinking about big purchases such as cars, and some of this even relates to houses, and sometimes it relates to cars as well. So if you have questions, we're talking about credit enhancement and credit repair eventually when you are applying for loans that rely on your credit score, and understanding that you have different credit scores in essence for these various loans that you may be applying for. So the phone number is 610-758-8810. And Steve was just telling us about some of the techniques that can be used to enhance your credit score. And the reason you want to enhance your credit score is if you can get a better interest rate in lending, because you said now in the mortgage world, there are cases, or more often, if you have a better credit, you're going to get a better interest rate.
Exactly.
Okay. So if you have a better credit and you can work on that, you'll get a better interest rate. A difference of 0.25% can make, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of difference in your lifetime payments for the mortgage. But Steve, what I wanted to ask you was, you know, it sounds like you're taking some time with the people who come in and talk to you when they're applying for mortgages, where you're looking at their credit report. You're looking for those little places or the tweaks you can make. You mentioned a simulator program. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that, but I want to ask, when they're going into banks or other lenders, are they all getting this kind of service where they're looking at ways to...
I don't know. I think they should, and if they're not, they should be asking for it. As a mortgage lender, mortgage banker, we have access to this software. Every other bank has access to the software. So I would say if you're a consumer and you're going to your bank, you should ask your lender or bank, what can I do to improve my score? And can you get my score improved before I close so I could get a better interest rate?
So right. Even a score at 720, which you said
is a good score.
Mm-hmm. Even getting that up could still make a difference.
Absolutely.
So sometimes if logically we say, oh, 720, that's a great score, I might not think my interest rate could be any better. But you're saying even with a good score,
yes,
you might be able to get some.
So let me give you an example of that. So the credit scoring model, like I said, we don't know exactly because it's a lot of components. But one of the big components is the obvious. So 35% of that score is made up of, do you pay your bills on time, right? Do you have any late payments? And less late payments or no late payments obviously gets you the perfect score, right? Or 30% of the formula is based off of that. The next biggest one, which I'm not sure everybody really puts a lot of focus on, is the utilization of that credit. So for example, if you have a credit card, a MasterCard, and MasterCard has given you a $5,000 credit limit, to keep your score maximized, you never want to borrow more than 30 to 35% of that $5,000. Okay. Now, the minute the dollar, when you exceed that 35% range, your credit score will go down. So if you have a $5,000 credit card and you owe $4,500 on that credit card, you're taking somewhere around 80%, you're utilizing 80% of that credit card, that's viewed by the credit scoring models as not the best utilization of your credit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So not only is paying on time is critical, it's how much of the credit that you have available are you using?
What if you pay it off every month?
Good question, because it depends on the timing. So if you've paid it off every month, let's say that the credit reporting, the MasterCard reports every month on the 25th day of the month, and every month you pay it off on the 23rd. By the time they report, it's going to look like you never use your credit, right? So that has been kind of a one-off, where I think the credit reporting system is trying to fix that issue. But, you know, some say, it's kind of mixed thoughts on this. Some people say just pay off, you know, all but $100 and show that the utilization, or pay it off different times at different times. But, you know, people don't like to do that, because if you have money outstanding, you're going to have to pay interest on it. So there should be a way that it understands that. But paying off is not a bad thing. But maintaining your credit at a percentage where you're borrowing more than 35-40% of your available balance definitely is going to hurt you. So when we say, and in that example where it's a $5,000 credit limit, you have borrowed $4,500, if we ask that borrower to pay that credit card down to $2,500 or $2,000, that could mean as much as a 30-40 point increase in your credit score immediately. And that 30-40 point interest rate increase could help you.
So that's one of the enhancements. I think you said mm-hmm. there were three things, but I want to get back to that.
Yeah.
But the paying late or timely, that is probably more of a credit repair issue, which
yes.
over time you'd want to show for some period of time mm-hmm. that you're paying timely.
Yeah. And there's nothing we could really do about that. And I think one of the other things that I think the audience needs to know and understand, which isn't talked about as much as it should be, is that if you have bad, I was on my way to a Flyers game yesterday, and I picked up a Philadelphia radio station and heard a advertisement that said, bad credit, we will fix it 48 hours. And it implied to me, my takeaway from that commercial was that if I have bad credit and I pay this company money, they will get me a better credit score. And you cannot do that. If you have bad credit, the only thing that could fix that is to pay off the people that you owe, and in time reestablish new credit and get back on track and show a history of on-time payments going forward. But there's no miraculous cure that anybody has to fix any bad credit that occurred on a credit report, unless it's a mistake. I mean, if it's truly inaccurate information, then it has to be fixed and removed, and your credit will be repaired immediately. But if you did have bad credit and you paid late, time will fix it. And it doesn't, you know, a year, maybe 2 years max in the most severe cases. But it's a matter of, once again, making payments on time, getting on schedule, making payments on time, utilizing the credit so that you are within 30-40% of your available balance. And those two things alone will keep your scores in the maximum point they can be.
Okay. And was there another factor too?
There's some smaller factors, like the type of credit you have and the fact that you have credit. One of the things a mortgage loan and a car loan will get carry a little more weight, a little more credit worthiness than a credit card. And the fact that the age is important. So somebody that's had a credit card and paid it on time for 10 years versus somebody that's had a credit card and paid on time for 6 years, that person had that credit card for 10 years will get a little more weight and a little more scoring power than the person who has it for 6 months. So, you know, when I talk to people that have had history of problems, they're like, well, you know, it's kind of a chicken or the egg. You know, I can't reestablish my credit because I had bad credit. So what
right.
do I do? How do I get this back? So there are ways to do that. There are secured credit cards. A secured credit card is the best way to get back on track. And maybe after, we're about to take a break, maybe after the break we'll go into and talk a little bit more detail about how to do that.
Yeah, I would love to do that. And I would also like, if we can at the same time, maybe talk about how young people might want to start establishing credit now in the hopes of being home buyers in maybe 5 to 10 years. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 57 degrees under overcast skies. Tonight, showers likely, lows around 55. Thursday, heavy rain expected, highs around 63. And Friday, sunny skies with highs around 50 degrees. The time is now 6:30. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. Welcome back, folks. I have Steve Stelzman from the Mortgage Company in the studio with me this evening. I had Steve on back in June 17th. We were talking about the mortgage approval process. So for any folks who are interested in possibly home ownership, it would be worth your while possibly to listen to that. It is available at WDIY.org or through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. And it was June 17th, and you can listen to the podcast. At the show, though, we talked about the precursor to all of this, which is making sure your credit's in good standing and ways to enhance your credit score if you want to qualify for possibly a better rate for your mortgage, or repairing your credit such that at the time you want to buy a house, you are in a better position than had you not worked on repairing your credit. So Steve was just going through some of the ways that you can work on improving your score, which is paying on time, utilizing the credit at a ratio of not more than maybe 30 to 35%, so that if you're approved for $5,000, do about 30%. You don't want to max out credit card use because that won't look good on your credit scores. And then other ways, the kind of credit you have. But ways for people to establish credit or reestablish credit if they had poor credit. You said a gentleman, Steve, had asked you, you know, hey, I was on tough times. You know, it affected my credit, and now I can't get credit. So what is he going to do about that? But let me mention the phone number one more time, 610-758-8810. You can talk live with us or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. So, Steve, how does someone who had possibly bad credit in the past, or maybe someone who doesn't have credit now?
So that's a good question. So let's start with somebody who ran into some hard times, fell onto maybe a bankruptcy, and had some, you know, some collection accounts and a lot of late payments on debts that they owed. I think the important thing to know is that it doesn't take forever to recover from even the worst financial situations. If you get back on track and you start making some small decisions to try to establish new credit, after a couple of years, you'll be right back with a 700, 800 credit score. So this isn't a penalty for life. But you do have to take certain steps to show that algorithm, to show that credit report scoring model that you are back on track and doing the right thing and paying your bills on time. Now, how do you do that if, you know, you've had late payments in the past and nobody wants to give you a new credit card? So there are types of credit cards called secured credit cards. And if you go online and you just Google secure credit cards, companies like Capital One will extend a credit card to you in lieu of you giving them X amount of dollars. So let's just say you want a credit card with a $500 balance. You give them $500. They will hold that $500 in escrow. You can use your credit, your new card, up to $500, pay it off. After a certain period of time, you'll get your $500 back from Capital One. They're just going to hold that money in escrow. In the event that you don't make a payment or you don't pay the balance back in full, then they'll keep your money. But the advantage to that is that that gets reported to the credit reporting agencies just like any other credit card, and you're now reestablishing good credit. Same rules apply, though. If they're giving you a $500 credit card, you only want to use no more than $200 of that $500 credit card, because utilization, once again, utilization is important. So it's about proving to the credit reporting model that you're responsible with your borrowing and with your repayment of that borrowing. So you charge a little bit, you go buy gas and groceries at the end of the month, you pay it off, you go buy, you know, and you continue that. After 6 months or a year, depending on the severity of your history, you'll be right back on track with a good credit score.
You know, it's fascinating because I would think that people may think the logic is different and that, oh, if I have a $500 credit limit and I use $500 and pay it off, it's showing that I have this capability. So mm-hmm. I think this is really, really critical information to have about the utilization rate. That is not talked about.
Never talked about. And it's probably one of the biggest causes for a low score.
Okay, so what about the kids coming out of college?
What we're seeing now is what we see now is that this used to be a bigger problem in the past because mom and dad would not put a minor, not a minor, but a new adult, an 18-year-old on a credit card as a joint borrower or an authorized user. But now it's more commonplace, you know, your son or daughter go to college, you give them a credit card or a debit card. So that's helping build credit. So we're seeing the 18s to 25s come into the home buying process with some established credit better than we've seen in years past.
Can I ask a question, though? Because from my own experience, mm-hmm. I have three kids, and mm-hmm. they all are on our credit card.
Yes.
But how are they establishing credit if it's on my credit card?
So
am I misunderstanding that they actually should go and apply for their own?
No, you're not. So if they are an authorized user on your card and you gave their social security number to that card holder, so you have a Visa, you have a Capital One credit card, and you made them an authorized user and you gave Capital One their social security number, Capital One is reporting your good credit to them.
Okay,
so on their credit report will show the Capital One card, and whether you make the payment or your son or daughter make the payment, it's still on their credit report as the payment being made.
Oh, very interesting.
Now that works in reverse, mom and dads. So so if your son or daughter want to get a loan on their own and they want you to co-sign and they forget to make a payment, it's going to affect their credit. They're going to have a 30-day late payment. And mom and dad, you are also going to get a 30-day late payment. So that's probably one of the things that I'm not sure a lot of parents understand. So, I mean, not that any of our children would make late payments on any of their credit cards, but if they do and you're co-signed it, watch out.
Oh, since we're talking about children mm-hmm. and students, what about student loans? How does that affect a credit report?
So depending on how it's set up, if you are the co-signer for your son or daughter, and regardless of whether the money is being borrowed from the bank or the Federal Loan Servicing Center, if both those social security numbers are in their data bank, it'll report on both their credits. So I took loans out in my daughter's name. I paid them off. It was on my credit report and my daughter's credit report. So when she came out of college, she already had a credit score and was established, had a good credit record because I made those payments on time.
Interesting.
So it does help. So, the number of credit lines is important too. So having just one credit card is not going to get you the same credit score as, or the maximum credit score is having maybe three credit scores. Card you pay on time. So because once again, it's all based on how you manage credit. So a person, I guess the logic would be that it's easier to manage one credit card than is, but if you can manage three credit cards, you get more points, more value to your credit.
Now, I think, does credit also affect someone's ability to rent sometimes too? Because we talked about housing and mortgages, mm-hmm. but
Most landlords now, especially if you're utilizing the real estate community to rent your home for you, most landlords are asking for credit information, right? And the if you're utilizing a service or a realtor to find you renters, they will have the availability to pull credit reports on only with the authorization of the tenant applying.
Okay.
But they will present that to the owner, and okay. and it is going to, and then now it's now becomes the landlord is has to make a judgment call whether they want to base their decision to rent on that or not.
So there's lots of reasons to help or to make sure we're repairing our credit score mm-hmm. or keeping a good credit score for not just home buying and car buying, but also renting. And that could be the first step to home buying as well. What about foreclosures or short sales? How do those affect someone's ability?
So there's some very specific rules. So once you have a foreclosure or a short sale or a bankruptcy, there are very specific times where there needs to be a seasoning between the ending of that event and the time you apply for a new mortgage, right? And depending on the severity of the foreclosure or the bankruptcy, the type of foreclosure and bankruptcy it was, depends on the required time length of or seasoning from the time of that event happened until the time of a new loan. So it's as little as 2 years, and it's the maximum would be 7 years. So, but most people, after you could be foreclosed on a home or have a bankruptcy, if you can reestablish your credit in 2 years following that, you can reapply for a mortgage and be approved.
Okay. What about credit card cancellation of debt? You know, some people will say, oh my gosh, I'm never going to get out from under this. Maybe mm-hmm. if I contact the lender, they'll forgive my credit
card.
Yes.
So we're talking about where you have a credit card and you ran up a $10,000 balance and then you just said, you know what, I can't pay it, not going to pay it, right? So the first thing that would happen is whoever is you're responsible for paying, let's just say that that's, keep using Capital One, I'm not even sure if I'm allowed to mention their name on the air, but they're the biggest card holder, so we're going to use them as an example. Say Capital, you owed Capital One $10,000, you did not make payments to Capital One. So Capital One attempts to collect from you, and after they try and they can't, they're going to put that account into what they call a collection account, right? Which then appears on your credit report in a separate section, the naughty bad section of the credit report, and it stays there forever, just about. And if you go to buy a house, you're going to have to deal with this $10,000, right? Because that could be a potential lien against your house. So as a lender, we want to make sure all those potential liens go away. So we're going to ask that person who owed that $10,000 to resolve that and pay off Capital One. If they agree to do that, then we could most times extend them credit and get them a mortgage loan. But if they say, nope, I'm not paying Capital One, then they probably are not going to get a mortgage loan or mortgage financing because it could potentially affect the ownership rights of the house. So be prepared that, if you know on your credit report there are accounts there that are in the collection status, you owed somebody money, you're going to have to deal with them. The easiest way to deal with them is to, you write them a check and it goes away. They mark it as a zero balance. Sometimes you can negotiate. Sometimes you can call that company and say, look, Capital One, I know I owe you $10,000. It's been 5 years. I have $2,000. Would you accept that as payment in full for the $10,000 that I owe you? And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. I've seen some really crazy deals where people have gotten their collections paid off at 10 cents on the dollar. And sometimes the card holder says, no, we were not negotiating. So, but it will have to be addressed if you want to get mortgage financing in the future. That's and one thing and that's a lifetime event that never goes away.
If they do agree to accept mm-hmm. some lower rate, does that show up on the credit report for
some
time?
It says
it then?
Usually on the credit report, it'll stay there. It'll say lower, I think it's rephrased something like lower balance accepted for payment in full.
Okay.
Or a lower amount accepted for payment in full, which is fine. All we're concerned about as a lender is that it's zero. and they can't come back to you or us and try to have some recourse because there's home ownership now.
Yeah, okay. Folks, I'm surprised we haven't had any calls tonight, maybe because you're so informative. You're answering all the questions.
Answer every question everybody has.
I'm asking all the questions. Folks, we still have time, though. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810, and we'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Steve Stelzman from The Mortgage Company. We're talking about ways to enhance your credit score to lower your interest rate on a mortgage or to repair your credit. So we have time for questions 610-758-8810. Although callers probably wouldn't get a word in edgewise because I'm having so many questions for Steve. Steve, this just came to me. What about refinancing? Does your credit score affect refinancing? And if so, does it as much as when you're going in for, you know, the mortgage approval?
This is one of those crazy things in our business that, you know, there's a lot of things in the mortgage industry that even after 29 years, I sit back and go, boy, it just doesn't make any sense, right? But, and this is one of them. So you would think that if a customer called me tomorrow and said, look, Steve, I want to refinance. And by refinancing, I could take my payment, monthly payment from $1,500 a month to $1,200 a month, that I, as a lender, would say, no problem. Let's start signing the paperwork and get you into a new mortgage where you could save $300 a month, right? However, your credit score is bad. So I have to run a credit report and I have to have a conversation with you that says, look, even though I could save you $300 and you're a better risk by having a $300 savings, your credit report and your credit score number is not sufficient enough to meet the guidelines, so I'm sorry, I can't do anything. Now, so it's one of those things that just doesn't make sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, and this was happening a lot. So the federal government came in about a year or two ago and designed what's called a HARP program. And there are programs out there where you, if you're refinancing, so in a traditional mortgage world, without a special HARP program, the answer is your credit score would still affect you. You would not be able to refinance. And right or wrong, that's, you know, that's the rule we live by until the federal government came in and said, look, that's probably not the best, you know, case. We shouldn't be basing it off of that. So as long as you've made your mortgage payment on time, so the HARP program comes along and it says, look, as long as you made your HARP payment or your mortgage payment on time, we really don't care about the other credit. And as long as you're not taking money out to, you know, pay off credit cards or buy boats or something, you know, you're just getting a better interest rate, saving yourself money per month. You will fit in the program, you get approved. But it's not everybody fits that bucket, right? So you could potentially be eligible to save money on a refinance, but your credit score could prevent you from doing that.
And the HARP finance, or what do you call it? The HARP
so
loan?
So HARP program
is still available?
Is still available. And the primary reason was designed is because a lot of people are trying to refinance to save money, but their houses were not appraising because we've got rules around, you know, you can only borrow up to a certain amount of money to a certain value of your home. If you have $100,000, if your house was worth $100,000, we were only able to give you $80,000, right? You can't borrow 100%. So what happened was, because properties declined over the last few years in some markets, people were trying to refinance, save money because the rates went down, and then the appraisal would come back and they owed more on the property than their house was worth. So that would disqualify them from now refinancing and saving money. So the HARP program was designed to resolve that issue. And it said, look, it doesn't matter really what the house is worth right now. If this person is going to save money by refinancing, then that's the program we're gonna put them in. And the government kind of implemented that into the industry, and the industry is now helping people refinance.
So it's still available.
Yes.
You have to make sure, you have to have a history of paying on time.
Yes.
And is that history 1 year, 2 years?
Yeah, most of the times it's 12 month on time payments. And that would mean that an on time payment is defined that if it's due the first day of the month, you've paid it in that month. It's not 30 days or more late.
Okay. And you don't have to be underwater on your house.
Right. So even if you are, if you are underwater, if you owe a little
still
more,
you still might qualify, but you don't have
program.
To be.
Right.
And do they go to any mortgage lender for that, or do they have to go
to? Just about any mortgage lender should be eligible to provide that HARP program.
Okay. Are the fees higher, or are they
more competitive? No, they're neither. The fees are not higher. But the rate could be a little bit higher than if you had equity in your house.
Okay.
All right. So once again, risk-based pricing. If you're loaning money, if you're loaning $100,000 on a house that's worth $80,000, then that's a little risky from a lender's perspective. And the lender's going to, that HARP program is going to build in a little bit extra in the interest rate to accommodate that lender for their risk.
And then does the government protect the lender?
Yes.
For that difference, and that's
yep.
why they're willing to do it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's yep. really worth mentioning.
Yeah.
So thank you for talking about that. So we have a few minutes left, and I wanted to kind of go back and kind of circle to where we were in June when we were mm-hmm. talking about the mortgage approval process and making sure you had that good credit. We want to get the best interest rate. But you had also talked about it's not just the mortgage approval process. So let's say we've done the whole credit thing. And now we're going to talk to you about a mortgage. Mm-hmm. And I can afford what? And what might you say to me?
Well,
because I thought that was critical important.
I think the important thing, whoever you talk to and whoever's going to kind of walk you through the mortgage process, is they should be asking you what you want your payment to be. I think that defines the type of person you're working with, right? If I'm telling you, look, Sally Sue, you can buy a $300,000 house. Why are you looking at $100,000 houses? I think you need to run away from that person and go find somebody that is focused on your best interest, which is, look, how much do you want to spend? Because, you know, if I qualified 10 people, 9 of them are probably want to spend less on their mortgage than we as an industry will qualify them for. So, you know, we are not in the business of trying to overextend your mortgage so that you can't make your mortgage payment. You need to first figure out, you should walk into your lender and have a payment in mind of what you're comfortable spending, and then back your sales price into that payment. And then if you can't get to your sales price based on that payment, then reevaluate whether homeownership is right or not. But the last thing, I think the biggest mistake you can make is overextend yourself on a mortgage payment, because, you know, it's a long commitment and it's a big number,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, you got to get comfortable and with that number.
Well, one of the things that happens, though, I think, is when someone decides they want to be a homeowner, mm-hmm. they start looking online at all the houses or driving around the neighborhoods, and you get caught up in a frenzy.
Yeah.
And it snowballs.
It goes up, and it's like, I, and that's very easy to do. Yeah. I do see it all the time. I do see people who, you know, walk on day one, we're talking about $1,000 a month is their maximum ceiling. And by day 60 or day 90, we're at $1,500. And, you know, sometimes that's okay. But you know, once again, you know, you got to get comfortable with what you're going to pay, because you know things do come up. You know, cars break down and you need new cars, and there are utilities and there are expenses that are tied to homeownership that need to be factored into, you know, this equation.
Well, at the end of every show, I always say be proactive, not reactive.
Yes.
So when someone's thinking about homeownership, do you have a recommended set of steps? For example, I'm sitting here thinking, do I go to the realtor first?
Mm-hmm.
Do I get my credit report first? Do I go to my mortgage lender first?
Mm-hmm.
And depending on which mortgage lender it is, Steve, because I'm not sure they're all created equally, because we talked about the process you might go through with helping enhance the mm-hmm. credit score or helping repair credit. So do you kind of have a rule of thumb for someone who's considering homeownership?
I think the best thing to do is to first sit down and look and create a very realistic, very conservative budget. All right. And what is the amount that you're willing to pay per month for a mortgage? And then you need to talk to somebody, a non-interested party that has homeownership bills, mom, dad, cousin, relative, not a realtor, not a mortgage guy, and have them tell you all the expenses that are associated with homeownership and put that in your budget. And then you walk into, I think the first place to start is the mortgage company and get the numbers out of the way and whether you qualify. And then you could go to any realtor that you're comfortable with and say, look, talk to Steve and here's what we figured out. I could borrow this amount of money. This is what my payment's going to be. I have this cash. I've been a pre-approved. Let's go look at houses that are in this range, right? It's also helpful to the realtor because the realtor now has a defined box that mm-hmm. they're going to show you, because if you just go, I don't know what I'm looking for, you know, you're going to be all over the map on
well, it actually have, would right? make the whole process more efficient
right. mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah.
So that's all good advice. Mm-hmm. And should anyone be fearful of applying for a mortgage if perhaps they have something like student loans in their history? Because
yeah.
you can have people who are working, you know, paying their bills, but student loans are a big chunk of
yeah.
someone's history.
So when we're seeing this becoming probably, I think, maybe the biggest holdback on the millennial market will be the debt that they incur on their student loans. Most millennials that I interview or pre-qualify have anywhere between $150 and $500 in monthly debt on student loans, and not going away anytime soon. So even though the monthly debt's $150 to $500, the balances are $200s, $300s of thousands of dollars, right? And when you look at that, they come out of college and they get the new job and they already have a mortgage payment, but it's called student loans, right? So I think most millennials, you know, the papers are talking about why they're not buying. And I think they're looking at that number and going, you know, that's why I'm not buying. You know, I've got this student debt. So I don't know how to fix that. I don't know what the answer is. There are some programs that help that reduce that debt. I'm not an expert in that market.
But they might still qualify for a mortgage.
Oh, they might. Yeah, but it's going to affect their buying power,
okay.
No doubt. I mean, you know, if you didn't have that debt, you're certainly going to be able to buy and spend more and buy a bigger house than if you had that debt. So it's a huge effect on our new generation.
Okay, any last, we have 2 minutes left. Any last comments or observations?
No, I think this year for the Lehigh Valley market ended up really well. I think sales overall were probably up 6 to 10%. Still a lot of houses on the market, but we're almost out of the woods on that whole foreclosure problem we've had in the last 10 years. And I think that, you know, if a property that is priced right and is in decent shape, it's selling in 3 to 5 days at market.
Wow.
The inventory that is sitting a little bit longer may be overpriced or maybe, you know, need some repairs. The newer buyers are kind of looking for something that they don't have to repair. So
yeah.
That's, you know, kind of stagnating the market a little bit.
And if people want to reach you, where do they contact you?
Well, we could call my phone number.
Go ahead.
My phone number is 610-216-5547. Or if you just Google Steve Stelzman, you'll have all my contact information.
And it's the mortgage company.
The mortgage company, yes.
Well, Steve, I really appreciate you coming here.
Thank you for having me.
I think there is a lot to be educated on this process and a lot of good information that you gave. And folks, the podcast from June 17th is available at wdiy.org or yourfinancialchoices.com. And this show will be podcast probably within a week or so and available for you to listen to. But lots of great information, and I really thank you for coming because you were great. Next week, folks, it's Thanksgiving, and we are all going to take a break. So I will be back on December 2nd. And on December 2nd, I'm going to talk about Social Security and some of the changes we've just seen and the planning that folks are going to be able to do or not be able to do, and some of the impact on Social Security and income, how it affects Medicare and your Medicare premiums. So we're going to do that on December 2nd. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Judy Ann. Good night.